This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. That's what we do every Friday, 10 to 10:30. It is Brighton and Brighton only. We want to hear from you. This is your team, your voice. So tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. This is 30 minutes dedicated to the Seagulls. Well, it's a big show tonight. We'll be talking about that disappointing defeat to Chelsea on the weekend and looking at their game on the weekend against another London club. It is Spurs. What a time to be playing them. We'll be talking all about that and getting the fallout from everything for Brighton. But as always, it's time for a guest and a very special one indeed. I'm delighted to say once again joining the show tonight is Josh Goldsmith, and he is joining us from America as per usual. But Josh, I've looked forward to this one. An absolute delight to talk to you again. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm doing maybe slightly better than you at the minute, Josh, because obviously I'm keeping my eye on the results for Brighton, hoping they do well because it might make you in a more better mood. Not that you never are not, but... Chelsea on the weekend, 2-0, very professional victory from them. And some are saying, and I want to get your opinion on it, that it was Graham Potter's, well, his side's poorest performance of the season. Do you agree with that, Josh?
Yes, 100%. It was probably our first bad performance of the year, and it was a stinker.
It was a bit of a stinker, but in your defence, it was the Chelsea fan show earlier on Love Sport Radio, and they said... I don't think it was that Brighton were poor. I think it was just that we were superior on the day because Brighton had their chances and it was very professional from us. Is that a consolation to you and the Brighton fans, Josh?
I mean, maybe. I think that, you know, we're about 8-9 games in now and we've seen a lot better. You know, we got hammered at Manchester City 4-0 and I think every Brighton fan would agree we actually played better on that day than we did at Stamford Bridge. So... it's not that much of a consolation, really, because it was disappointing to see the poor performance we put in. But I do get it. Like, Chelsea were excellent on the day as well. They pressed us super high from the beginning. And we are beset with injuries. So it's not too much of a gutter, but it was a bad, bad performance.
Josh, obviously on Love Sport Radio, I get to talk to a lot of fans, talk to a lot of clubs, and I know, and I'm including myself in this, that we all get excited as football fans. We're all far too negative. We all do a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we're very fickle at the best of times. And I have to admit, at the start of the season, you got that brilliant win against Watford on the opening day, and everyone was like, what an appointment this is. Graham Potter, you know, they was right maybe to replace Chris Hughton. They're playing this free-flowing, attacking, fluid football, you know, that we could really do something this year. Since then, it's gone a little bit indifferent. And now what I'm hearing is Brighton look in trouble. They're in for another fight this year. Maybe they shouldn't have got Chris Hughton. Why do we as fans do it? You know, one extreme to the next. But where do you stand on it at the minute?
It's funny. People do turn on a dime, don't they?
Absolutely.
I'll never understand it, especially with a couple of games in like this. I mean, we gave Hughton almost two full seasons before the fans really started turning on him. We went and watched every game from January through till April, where we were absolutely turgid and we never really turned on him. So, you know, the fact that there are a fair few Albion fans out there starting to question Potter after 8 games is a bit wild to me. And it's also the fact that we've actually pretty much took the exact same amount of points away from the same teams that we played last year. So we're no better or worse off without Hughton and with Potter, but I think the style of football is so much better, and the chances are there, we're just not taking them.
Yes,
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Josh, to interrupt you there. I mean, I want to help you defending you because, you know, you look at that game with Newcastle, all right, you didn't get the win there, but you had so much possession, so many chances, and I spoke on the Newcastle fan show and they said, you know, we've come away from that game and the thing we've learned is we wish we were playing the football that Brighton were and dominating the game like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no disrespect to Newcastle whatsoever, but on a different day, we walk away with a 4-0 win there. Mm. We were that in control. But the problem is putting the ball in the net, and we just, I don't know whether it's the lack of depth or we just aren't quite there yet. I know it's a project, and, you know, Potter's teams take a while to mould, especially when you're coming all the way from a Houghton side to a Potter side. They're so different. But it's that goal scoring that's the problem right now.
Yeah, this is the problem, Josh. What can they do to solve it? Because to me, it seems like, you know, very good football. You said it's much better from last year. Just no end product, you know. It's kind of been the story of Brighton's season so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And I think the biggest thing that's hurting us is the injury crisis that we've suddenly found ourselves in. We've looked pretty good, and the players that were scoring goals at Watford and causing problems in the early games are either hurt or out on loan. So Trossard is hurt, Folly March is hurt, David Proper's hurt, Bernardo's hurt. You know, a lot of players that make our first 11 every week if they're fit. And it's now finally starting to tell from what, because we don't have any goal scorers except for Mopai in the side.
Also, not that, you know, any other Premier League game is harder than the other, because, you know, in the Premier League, all games are hard, especially away from home. But you've had some tough fixtures. You know, you just mentioned it there. Played Man City, just played Chelsea. Now you're playing Tottenham before the international break. It's a hard spell for most teams, you know. Not, you know, if we take Brighton even out of that equation.
Yeah, exactly. No team is going to want to have to play those three in four games, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was Man City, then Burnley, then Chelsea, now Spurs. So.
Absolutely difficult stretch of run of results. And like you said, we're only still getting used to Potter. You know, it's nine games in. I'm hearing, just because we were talking about that Newcastle game, afterwards Newcastle fans were saying Steve Bruce doesn't know what his best 11 is. And, you know, I hear that from Arsenal fans under Unai Emery. He's been there a little while longer, and actually Southampton with Ralph at the minute. But how long do you think it takes for a manager? And does Potter know his best style for the players he has, or is he still getting used to what is his best 11?
I think he's getting used to it, and I think, again, that's because every time he seems to get somewhere that he likes, he loses someone that's pivotal to it. So losing Trossard early was an absolute killer because he was a huge influence on all of our chance creation. And then, you know, we've loaned out Lucardi, we've loaned out Andone, so that's two attackers we don't have anymore. And then we're having to bring in people like Aaron Connolly and Steven Alzate, two really promising youth prospects, but they're going to take a little while to get up to speed with the senior squad. So I think he probably has a wishful idea of what his 11 is, but he's just not had a chance to really flex his muscles with a full-strength squad yet.
And also, you know, we mentioned, you know, it has been much better, even though the points tally might be similar, because, you know, Brighton are playing this brand of football. They're also trying to play out from the back quite a bit. But sometimes, you know, as with other teams, are they their own architects of their own downfall? You know, in the Chelsea game, you know, it was poor passing that led out from the back, and that was where the goal happened.
Yeah, and that was, I know a lot of fans worry about it, and I wasn't too worried. And then we went to the Etihad and we played out from the back a lot there, and I was cringing every time we did it, to have the audacity of playing out from the back at the Etihad. But we pulled it off every single time. Yeah. So we went to Stamford Bridge and I wasn't too worried, and then that performance came in, and like, there you go. There's the danger of playing out from the back, because they pressed high, they pressed fast, and we collapsed under it. So it's always going to be a risk.
You mentioned embarrassed, Josh, and I understand to a degree of what you mean, but, you know, if a team's trying to, you know, get their own identity, their own brand of football, their own style, they can't abandon that, can they?
No, and I don't want them to. It's nothing but a good learning opportunity. It was like an embarrassment to be kind of dispossessed so easily a lot of the times for Chelsea's play, but I don't want them to change back to any other thing that they aren't. Potter knows how he wants them to play. They seem to believe in how he wants to play. So I definitely don't want to change at all.
It was disappointing when they did try to do it on the weekend, though, and then they conceded a penalty. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know. And it was Adam Webster who has came in and has played absolutely brilliantly. And he just totally fluffed his lines all the way through that play out. So it was really disappointing. So, yeah, it wasn't the best of times to get it either, right on half time.
And what about striker Aaron Connolly? Because I know he's in introduction. It's always nice to see the youth get a chance. But it did spark a good little spell for Brighton, didn't it?
Yeah, and it did against Burnley as well. We almost beat them. Was it Burnley that we played? The one that was cleared off the line? Newcastle. Yeah, when he chipped the keeper, he just came on, chipped the keeper, and Shah did that unbelievable bicycle kick off the line. He is some player. I think he'll be in the starting 11 sooner than later because he has scored goals for fun for the Ireland under-21s and for our under-23s, and he's finally getting a chance. And, you know, he was half an inch away from getting a goal on against Newcastle as well if it weren't for that acrobatic save. So he's a really promising prospect for sure.
Exactly. And does this highlight also what Potter's doing? You know, he's trying to bleed in those youngsters, give them a chance and see what they can bring. Because why not give youth a chance? It seems to be working for a lot of other sides. Let's see what they can do. Let's see if they can play at this level.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's something that we as fans were asking for. We've had this this beautiful training facility. We've invested in the youth an awful lot over the last couple of years, and we've seen nothing really from it. Like, really, only Solly March is the only academy product in the last 5-6 years. So to then have a bunch of them coming through, whether it was needs must with the injuries or not, they've taken their chance. Stephen Alzate got awarded the performance of the month for his debut against Newcastle. And Aaron Connolly, like I said, is already turning heads. So, yeah, you love to see it, as they say.
Well, Gross's attempt in the 60th minute was Brighton's first shot. This is the longest that they have had to wait for their first shot in a Premier League fixture. Now, I'm reading that stat because I prepared it earlier and I just was quite shocked. It's not a stat, you know, sometimes we love stats, but it's never one you want to see, is it really?
No, and honestly, it wasn't even that good then. I think it was a real tame shot, if I can remember. We were really poor. It was just a bad day at the office all around.
A bad day. Sorry, go on, Josh.
Just the fact that we, you know, we can usually at least guarantee that we'll carve out a couple of chances, and the fact that we didn't have a shot until the hour just shows how bad it was.
Because you're seeing it as a work in progress, can you not palm it off as bad days at the office, but almost in a way you can, because you see what Potter's trying to do, you see what this Brighton side are doing, we're still yet to gel and get the chemistry going, but you can see it is a work in progress and there are some signs of it sparking into life.
Yes, 100%. I think you're totally right. I think a million positive signs compared to the couple of negatives. Everything that you see is positive. You know, we're playing more attacking football. We're playing a unique kind of football, really, at that level to try and pass the ball around. We haven't seen that in a long time since Gus Poyet was here, really. So it's nice to have something pretty to watch, as they say, as opposed to the long ball grind out a result by any means necessary under Houghton. I think Potter will have to be able to get a fine margin of the both of the two, because he's still going to have to grind out results one way or another.
It certainly was. Well, we're going to be talking about the game with Tottenham next and seeing if they have to grind out a result and is this the perfect time to play them. But as always, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Josh will be sticking around to tell us all about the game on the weekend.
We've all got one and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say, still joining us this evening, Josh Goldsmith, all the way from America, talking everything where the Seagulls are concerned. And you can get involved. If you agreed with me, if you disagreed with me and Josh, let us know. Call us on 0208 70 20 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Well, Josh, we're turning our attentions now to the game on the weekend. It is the early kickoff, 12:30. It's at Brighton. You're at home. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, first of all, I always hate these early kickoffs. It's an early one for me. It's 7 o'clock in the morning over here.
What are you going to do, Josh, 7 in the morning? Where do you watch it? Did you meet up with other Brighton's fans? Let us know about the Seagulls community out there.
Yeah, so sometimes, for a couple of the games, I've gone to a bar. There's a bar in Charlotte.
It's 7 in the morning?
Yeah, they're open real early all the way through. The 3 o'clock kickoffs are obviously 10 a.m. here, so... Oh. That's nowhere near as bad, but they are open bright and early and they'll take you in if they want you. But I think tomorrow I'll just be watching it from my couch.
Nice, I like it. Well, that is commitment to watch the games and get up at 7. I expect nothing less from you, Josh. You do play Tottenham. It is at home and there's two sides of a coin on this one, isn't there, Josh? Because you could look at Tottenham and say they're down, they're out, it's really bad, they're having manager troubles, the fans are turning on them, it's spreading like wildfire, you know. lost to Colchester, went out in the Cup, then they lost 7-2 in the Champions League. You know, Brighton could go, this is the perfect time to play Spurs. On the other hand, beware of the wounded animal. What side of the coin do you fall on, Josh?
A different one every hour. There is times when I think about it and think, like, you know, this is perfect for us. We can, you know, if we keep them quiet for that first 25 minutes, it's going to be an absolute mess for them. The fans are going to get annoyed. We have a real chance to, you know, cause some big problems. Then the other side of me is like, Lord, it could be 7-2 to them instead this time.
Yeah. Do you really believe that, though? Because a lot of fans here, you know, to be fair, have said, beware of the Tottenham bounce back. They're going to be really up for it. But there's also another side element to this story. And the fact is that Tottenham haven't won away from home since January, you know. I know the form of the last few weeks, but they haven't won away from home for a long time. You know, something clearly isn't clicking for them. If Potter wants to bounce back and Brighton want to bounce back, I don't know why I keep saying Potter, because it's not just him, it's the team. But this is a chance to do so on the weekend, isn't it? And also, having said that, Brighton are fresh. Tottenham did play a game in midweek.
Yeah, no, and I do think you're right. I think that we've also heard that a couple of times already this season, like, beware the Tottenham bounce back, and they still haven't. I think it is the perfect time to do it. And the fact that, you know, Potter does like the possession football, we will be at home. A couple of our injured players are coming back and they are fully fit for this one. So I think, you know, we have everything coming together to really, really frustrate them and take a result away from them. And that would be some way to go into the international break with a point or more against Spurs would be really nice.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because obviously, you know, Brighton, I don't want to say desperately need the points, but they are down there. It's, you know, 6 points from seven games and it was 3-1, so it's only been 3 points from six. They could do with a result now. But how key is it? It's always key to get a result. But how key, when you are heading into that international break, just take that feel-good vibe into that time, use it and work on it before you come back in 10 days' time or so.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And like we said, this is the perfect game for it. We have all the ingredients to make this both a really nice break for us and a really, really horrible one for Spurs. So I think it's just a case of keeping ourselves calm for that first 20 minutes. I'm sure they're going to come at us quick. They're going to come at us hard. Like, that bounce back will be in effect for a little bit. But if we can weather that storm, I think it's there for the taking, honestly. And I can't really believe I'm saying that again about a top six side, but they really do look out of sorts.
Well, they do. Clearly, you're in the hour of the other side that have come where you think it's going to be a good one. It's the perfect time to play them. Just before I ask you how you think the game is going to play out, when you say, that it is a massive game, is the consensus among the Brighton fans that we really need to get at least a point here this weekend? Has that worry, has that concern started to creep in at all, Josh?
I don't think so. I think it's more of a case of we think we can this weekend. We think we definitely are good enough to take a point off Spurs. I think the only problem is we also have, like, Brighton as a team have this really weird knack of ending bad records for people. So Chelsea are the perfect example. Last week, they hadn't kept a clean sheet and they hadn't won at home yet. So what do? They keep a clean sheet and win at home. Mm. That seems to be the way Albion do it. For the last couple of years, you can go back. And we've broken a lot of people's bad streaks. So I think there is that bit of inherent worry of us continuing down that streak. But this one, I think we have every right to be disappointed if we come away with nothing, because this is just about the most perfect time.
Well, there's obviously, you know, we said earlier how fickle fans can be, you know, so people mentioning about Potter, but they're having their own managerial mess. You know, this you would have thought that when you would have looked at that game. That may play a part. Josh, before we get a prediction, how do you think the game will play out? What kind of scenarios can you see on match day?
I think, as I said, I think they're going to come at us real quick for the opening 20 minutes. And if we can weather the storm, I think the fans are going to get frustrated. I think we'll keep the ball. And I think we'll carve out chances. And the more we carve out, the more panicked, frustrated they're going to be. We keep it down. If we keep it 0-0 after 25, 30 minutes, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone get sent off as well. I think they're not far away from, like, a full-on meltdown. So it's going to be a case of keeping it together. Of course, if they score early, I think they might go on to win it quite comfortably, because I think that would just give them that kick.
Josh, do you feel like your team and your players, certainly the creative ones and the strikers, are on the verge? You know, we always hear only takes one and the floodgates were open. You're creating so many chances. Do you just think maybe that's one of the issues? They're just lacking a bit of confidence. Once the ball finds the back of the net, Brighton could find themselves on a mini run of goals.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I was just saying to somebody earlier, if we do take a point, I hope it's a 1-1 draw, because then we've scored. And I think that is exactly it. I think we're now in our own heads a little bit about it. There was a couple of chances against Chelsea, and although Chelsea were clearly the better team, there was a couple of times where we broke through, and like, it was a clear chance to take a shot, and a good one, and they chose to play a pass instead. So I think it is getting in their head somewhat, and I think that first goal, like you said, like, I think the floodgates will open, and I feel sorry for one of the teams in the future where we finally do break it, because I think someone will be on the end of a bit of a beating.
Josh, in this international break, just quickly, I wanted to ask, what do you think that, you know, from having seen what you've seen in the Premier League so far, even though it is a small sample size, what would you say that Brighton need to work on in the international break to come out stronger from the other side of it?
I think we need to work on getting our players fit. I think there's going to be a lot of this. I think a lot of this is going to come back to the fact that they've had the same regime in place the last 3 or 4 years under Heaton. And whatever the new training regime is, and obviously I don't know this for sure, it's just a guess, but whatever it is, and the big changes we've had in training are starting to tell a little bit now, when people are getting knocks and picking things up where they're maybe not used to the same regime as before. So I think it's going to be a case of just continuing to bed in. And if we do score, breeding that confidence. And if we don't score, just keeping them together and stopping that possibility for a meltdown.
Well, Josh, it is that time. What is your score prediction?
1-1.
1-1. Oh, yeah. You're sitting on the fence, Josh. Splinters, but I know you will take a point. I'm not sure Tottenham will. But Josh, as always, our time together is too short. I really enjoy chatting with you, especially when we're talking about Brighton. That is the only thing we want to talk about on this show. Pleasure to have Josh Goldsmith on the show tonight. As always, you can get in touch and you can be part of the Brighton Fan Show, because every Friday, 10 to 10:30, is all we discuss. It is the Seagulls and the Seagulls only. But up next, it is the El Clasico, Real Madrid and Barcelona Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.